teach through some lessons with our theme about ministry and certain ministries they are. And I asked Brother Beck to come and just give us a pastor's perspective. We're very proud of Brother Beck, and he's been at Monterey Park. He was there at the beginning when we started, and he's been there the last, how many last years? Couple, two, three? 3 years, and just doing a fantastic job. Great man. And so, Brother Beck, why don't you come preach for us?
Thank you. Well, I apologize about my voice. I've been sick the last couple of days. I'm fighting this off here. But it brings a lot of memories, I'll be honest with you, being back here with you tonight. This is the auditorium where God got a hold of my heart and my life. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I got saved in sixth grade and went out into the world and did a lot of bad things that I'm not proud of. At the age of 25, my brother-in-law invited me for a friend day, and I came here, and God changed my life. And so you never know. I'll be honest, when I graduated high school, barely graduated, I probably would have been most likely not to become a pastor. I never would have thought in a million years that God would call me to be a pastor. So you never know what God has planned in store for your life tonight. I also want to take a moment. I don't know if I've ever publicly done this, but I want to thank Pastor Myers for believing in me and giving me an opportunity to pastor, letting me leave this place. And we're having the time of our life over there in Monterey Park. I'll be honest with you, you don't realize what you have here. You don't. You got no idea. To have a piano player, good night. I wish I could get a piano player. To have a special like that before you come preach, man, I wish I could have that. And you just don't realize what you have until you lose it. And I thank God for this church, and I thank you, Pastor Myers, for believing in me enough, or maybe you just wanted to get rid of me, I'm not quite sure, but allowing me to be there. And I love our people so much. These are great days for us as a church. We got ex-gang members, and we got murderers in the church, and drug addicts, and all kinds of stuff. But it's exciting. We're seeing folks saved. God's grown the church, and we're just having the time of our life. And tonight, I kind of want to, being back home, my home church here, Pacific Baptist Church of Long Beach, I wanted to kind of preach on the topic of the church. And so if you have your Bibles, if you could turn with me there to Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll read some familiar verses here, and then we'll pray, and then we'll get into the message tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll begin reading there in verse number 21. Ephesians chapter number 5. Thank you for being in church tonight and being in your place. Let's begin reading there in verse number 21. The Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Excuse me. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And as I mentioned tonight, I want to preach on, if you notice there, in verse number 32, the words great mystery, speaking about the church. And again, I didn't grow up in church. I wasn't raised in the nursery. And so now as a pastor, I was a member of this church for a very long time. I want to say 12, 13 years. Now as a full-time pastor, it'll be 2 years in June. I kind of see the church a little bit differently. And we'll see here tonight, as I've done some studying on this thing of the church, it is a little bit of a mystery. I think sometimes we just don't understand how important the church is. Really, I believe this, that the success and the longevity in your life tonight is based upon your relationship and your involvement in the local church. I think the closest people to you in all the world should be your church family. I think your life should revolve around the church. I love coming to church. Even before I was a pastor, I loved coming in before the services, and you got the buzz and the pianos playing, people walking around. I love church. Church has changed my life. I want to look at tonight the church, the mystery of the church. And let's pray here. Father, I pray that you bless tonight. Thank you for this great church. Thank you for all the memories that I've had here. Thank you for the decisions that I've made. Thank you for the men and the women who've invested in my life here at this church that allowed me to be where I am today. God, I pray that you bless this great church. I pray that you bless the preaching of your word tonight. Use me. Help me to be an encouragement to your people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So tonight, as we kind of just unravel this thing about the great mystery of the church, I believe it's important for us, first of all, to kind of understand the way Jesus looks at the church. And we just read some of those verses right there. We saw in verse number 25, the Bible tells us that Jesus loves the church. The Bible says that Jesus died for the church. And by the way, people miss church on Sunday, and it's like, man, where were you at? Well, I was at Bedside Baptist. I was sleeping in, or maybe I was watching church on the internet. By the way, that's not church, okay? Jesus didn't die for Facebook. Jesus didn't die for YouTube. Jesus died for the church. So what's the church? You got the man of God, the word of God. You are the people of God. This is church. And Jesus died for the church. He loves the church. It says there in verse number 27, Jesus wants his church to be a glorious church, to be a holy church, a church without spot or blemish or wrinkle. Hey, church, let me just remind you tonight, God wants you to be holy. God wants you to be clean. God wants you to live a good life. You say, why? This is God's church. It says there in verse number 29, what does Jesus say about the church? It says that he nourishes it. What is that? He feeds it. He cares for it. He desires to see the church grow. It also says there that he cherishes it. He loves it. He loves the church. That the church is near and dear to Jesus' heart. But notice what it says there in verse number 30. It says that we are members of the body. You know, I think by the way, there are no accidents in the word of God. And Jesus put that word member as a reason for in the Bible. That word member means a limb of animal bodies, as a leg or an arm, an ear, a finger, an individual of a community or society. You see, being a member of Pacific Baptist Church means that you're a member of something much bigger than yourself tonight. This thing about church membership or being a member, we got to start taking this thing seriously. Your Christianity needs to go outside these four walls tonight. I want to show you something. Turn, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter number 17 real quick here. 2 Kings chapter number 17. I'll give you a quick background as you're turning there. The children of Israel are going to captivity, and as they're in captivity, some of the Babylonians come and they inhabit the land. And as they come and inhabit the land, We see there that some bad things started happening to them. Some of the lions started killing them. And so what they did is they said, man, what's going on? And they said, well, the gods of the land, you have to fear the gods of the land. And so they went and they got some priests back in Babylon, some Jewish priests. They brought them back to the homeland and they put them in church there. And the people started going to church. Let's read it there. Verse number 25. It says there, 2 Kings 17:25, and it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. And so here's the Babylonians, okay? They're in Israel, the land, the promised land, but they didn't fear the Lord. Therefore, the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore, they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore, he sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let them teach them the manner of the God of the land. And so you see what's happening here. The Babylonians come into the land. The Bible says they didn't fear the Lord. They started dying off, and they said, man, what's going on here? They went back to Babylon. They grabbed some priests. They bring them back to the land, and they said, hey, we want you to teach us about the God of the land. Look at verse 28. It says, then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Succoth-Benoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashmiah, and the Avites made Nibhaz, and these difficult names to pronounce. Look what it says there. They burnt their children in fire. If you look in verse number 29, it says they had the priests. They came and they taught them to fear the Lord. But then a couple verses later, what are they doing? They're sacrificing their children. So wait a second, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It says they don't fear the Lord. Then they bring some priests in to fear the Lord. But then they're sacrificing their children. Go down to verse number 32. So they feared the Lord. And they made unto themselves of the lowest of them priests on the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord. Notice what it says. And they served their own gods. Let me say this tonight. It's not enough to fear the Lord. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of knowledge. It's just the beginning. It's not enough to come to church on Sundays. It's not enough to come to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night. It's not enough to come to church on Thursdays. Guess what? You have to live for God outside of these walls. Your Christian life needs to be real to you. We can't fear the Lord and serve other gods. Think about the patched little song. There's only two choices on the shelf: serving God or serving self. Who are you serving tonight, church? I'll show you what happens. We may be able to get away with it. We say, well, we soothe our conscience. We come to church and say, man, I fear the Lord. I get all dressed up for church. Look at me. I fear the Lord. But then we leave this place and we serve our own gods. We sacrifice our children. Look what happens in verse number 41. You can read the story later. It says in verse number 41, so these nations, they feared the Lord and they served their graven images, both their children and their children's children. As did their fathers, so do they unto this day. You see what happened? They lost the next generation. And as long as we only fear the Lord and we don't serve the Lord, we're going to lose the next generation. Maybe some of us tonight, we've lost our children. They're not in church tonight. I think about the prodigal son. Now he left and he went on his own. But let me say this, one of those days, the prodigal son came home. You say, where did he come home? He knew right where to find mom and dad. And maybe your children are out of church tonight, but you just stay faithful to church. You say, why? One of these days they're going to come home. And you want to be able to come home and they know where mom and dad are and they know what mom and dad are doing. Hey, what do you need to do? You need to stay faithful to church. Jesus Christ loves the church. He cherishes the church. He died for the church. Hey, shouldn't we live for the church? This thing of church membership is quite big. We need to be careful. Let me say this. We need to be careful with the definition of membership. You know, we join. It's not like joining Costco. It's not like joining 24-hour fitness or a country club. You join somewhere like that and you say, well, what are the perks, right? Man, what do I get out of this thing? Man, what's the cash back? And what are the rewards? And what's this and what's that? Hey, the church is not like that. You say, what are you joining? You're joining the church. Jesus loves the church. He died for the church. You say, what are the perks? You get to serve God. You get to teach a Sunday school class. You get to give to the building, to support missions. You get to learn, to teach, to sacrifice, pray for others. You get to serve. Those are the perks of being a member of a church. We got to be careful about this mentality about entitlement. What's in this thing for me? What do I get out of being a member here at Pacific Baptist Church? What are they going to give me? No. It needs to be, what do I get to give to the church? We got to get this thing right about church. Church is big. I promise you, your success in your Christian life is going to be determined by your relationship and your involvement to church. It's got to be more than just something that we come and do as a hobby or as a fellowship time. This thing's got to be real to us. So let me give you a couple things here real quickly about membership. Let me say about membership. Membership means we're all necessary parts of the whole. Every single one of you here tonight, if you're a part of this local church, you are necessary. You're needed. You're important. Hey, you may not have significance out in the world. By the way, we need to stop looking for significance out there. Stop trying to find your identity on Instagram or on Facebook or on all these other things, in the car we drive, in the home we have. Hey, find your significance in the local church. As a Sunday school teacher, as an usher, as a nursery worker, as a greeter, as a bus worker, as a patch worker. You say, what are you? You're needed tonight. Let me read you a verse there. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. We're all necessary. You're important tonight to God. We believe in the sovereignty of God, don't we, tonight? There are no accidents in the will of God. God has you here for such a time as this. And you're needed. You're significant. You play a role. Look what it says there in chapter 12, verse 12. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, or have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. And go down to verse number 22, it says, nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And so the Bible tells us tonight that every single one of us, to the success of Pacific Baptist Church, you are necessary. You are needed. God wants you to be involved. By the way, don't look down on people tonight that you may seem as insignificant in the church. Not everybody can be an adult Sunday school teacher. Not everybody can be a bus captain. Not everybody can have be a staff member or an assistant pastor. But let me say this, every single one of you is necessary tonight in order for this local church, this body, to function properly. It needs all of its members, everybody, just to get on board. Get on board with the vision. And I don't know what you're pushing here tonight. I don't know exactly where you're going, but I know you got a man of God, and he meets with God, and he's going somewhere. Hey, get on board. Get involved. I know what it's like as a pastor. We want so badly. Look, I know Pastor Myers is not sitting behind his office or sitting in his office like, well, let me see how I can manipulate these people to get them to do what I want. No, I have no greater joy than to see that my children walk in truth. And he wants you to find God's will for your life. There's nothing like finding God's will and finding significance in the local church. You're needed, elderly. You're needed, husbands. You're needed, wives. Young people, you're needed tonight. Teenagers, you're needed. Hey, ladies, you're needed. All of us are needed. And you're significant in this local church. Somebody once said, I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. Because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do. Hey, I don't know what you do in the church tonight, but you're significant. You're needed. I remember when the first ministry I was a part of was the parking ministry. Good old Brother Harriet, God bless him. He said, hey, Pastor asked me to ask you to be in the parking ministry. I said, wow. Pastor wants me to be a parking attendant? And he said, yes, sir. Gave me one of those bright orange jackets. I don't know if you use them here anymore. Golf cart. You guys got a golf cart now? Good night. I remember when Pastor Esposito called me in the office and said, all right, I got a job for you. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you know, we're building the building, and the city's got to give us approval. He said, we want you to be in charge of the parking ministry, and so if the city denies our parking plans, then it's your fault. And I said, wow, talk about pressure. So I did my best. We had about 40 parking attendants at one time. And I remember one time right over here, there was a lady, she was parked, in the announcement tonight, don't park in front of your neighbors. She was parking in front of our neighbors. And I walked across the street, tried to catch her. I said, excuse me, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I said, we're trying to be good neighbors. We can't park in front of our neighbors. If you like, I got a spot in the back for you. Would you go back there and park? Don't worry about it. She said, oh, yeah. I said, okay. And we got on the walkie-talkie. I said, we got a spot for her. She's coming to the back. She didn't go to the back. I said, where's she at? I said, man, I walked around the property. I couldn't find her. I walk out over here, out this back driveway. Here she comes walking up the street. She parked in front of our neighbors on this side. And I went like this, oh, man. And she said, what? I said, nothing. She said, well, I can't park there? And I said, it's just fine. It's fine. Don't worry about it. She said, go ahead, tell me I can't park there. I said, no, you can't park there. And she said, blah, 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 and she started chewing me out. I'm going to tell Pastor Esposito. Blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, I'm so sorry. She left. And that afternoon, I called Pastor. I said, hey, I just want to let you know this lady's probably going to call you. She's going to tell you I'm a horrible person. I did this and that. I explained the whole story to her. And he said, okay, that's fine. Sunday night church comes. All excited about Sunday night church. And I'm sitting right back here. Guess who walks in the back door? The lady that I just kicked out of church that morning. And I sunk down. I was like, oh, please don't let her see me. She sat right in front of me, like a couple chairs up there. And then Pastor Esposito gets up. God bless Brother Kyle. Starts telling the story. Well, this lady started chewing him out. Blah, 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 blah. I said, oh, no. I was so embarrassed. I saw her kind of just sinking down in her seat a little bit. I didn't know her name. I didn't tell Pastor Esposito her name. I just said, this lady, she knew who she was. I knew who she was. God knew who she was. What am I trying to say tonight? I'm trying to say you're significant. Hey, you may be a parking attendant, a nursery worker, a patch worker, a greeter, an usher. I don't know what you do tonight, but you're significant. You are needed in the church. Let me also say this. Membership means that we're different, but we still work together. That's the amazing thing about church. All of us are different here tonight, aren't we? We come from different backgrounds. Some of us, we come from other countries. Some of us grew up in the streets of East L.A. Some of us, by the way, that's all we have over there in Monterey Park, bunch of East L.A. people. It's fun. Some of us, we grew up, we got Asian people here. We got Cambodians and Filipinos. We got a couple white people. We got African American. We got people that went to college. We got some that barely graduated sixth grade, okay? We got all different types of people here tonight. But you say, what's the point? The point is that God wants this family to work together. Nothing will destroy a church like disunity. Disunity. Nothing will keep this church from going forward if you guys start killing each other. You know, I was thinking about Proverbs 6:16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. He that soweth discord amongst the brethren. Hey, don't, by the way, Satan wants to slow this church down. I'll tell you that right now. Hey, don't you be the one that's being used by Satan to slow the church down. I used to play ice hockey. A lot of fun. This is BC before church. And I used to like to get into fights. And I used to look for reasons to get in fights. And one of the best reasons was, as I got older, I started playing ice hockey with my dad. And my brother was the goalie. So anytime anybody hit my dad or came in hard at the goalie, I played defense. I'd come over, boom, and I'd hit him. I'd say, don't mess with my brother. And we get in fights. He said, what'd that do? That made my brother real close. He said, yeah, you know, you protect me. But, you know, I've been on some teams, too. Some hockey teams where people couldn't get along. And we had a lot of potential as a team, but we didn't win a lot of games. You say, why? We couldn't get along. There was fight from within. And this church, Pacific Baptist Church, will not go forward unless you learn how to get along. You know, I think about that story about those coon dogs. I think it was Pastor Larry Brown shared the story. And there was a hunter, and he would go out, and he had these two dogs. And he put them in the back of the truck, and they were coon dogs. They'd go out and catch raccoons. And he'd put them in the back of the truck, and they'd be driving to the woods there, and the two dogs would just be going to town, fighting and snarling and barking and just going at each other. And he'd be driving down the road. He'd get out to the spot where he'd go hunting. He'd get out of the car, and those dogs were still biting and snarling and going at each other. Then he'd open that back gate. As soon as he opened that back gate, those two dogs that were going at each other would all of a sudden stop fighting. They jump out the truck, and they go start chasing the raccoons. You say, what happened? As soon as they got busy doing something, they stopped fighting so much. You see, I don't know how it is here, but the people that cause the most problems in our church are the ones that are sitting around doing nothing. And they're sitting around soaking in sound. Well, I don't like the special music tonight. And why are we doing this? And why are we doing that? Hey, let's stop fighting and everything. Let's get busy serving God. Amen. Yeah. Membership means that all are necessary to the success of this church. It also means that we're all different, but we can still get along. Amen. And lastly, membership means fulfilling your function. You go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, and we see the Apostle Paul comparing the church to the body. And each part of the body, just like each member of a church, has a purpose and has a function. Okay? And you have a function in the church tonight, just like the body does. The hands, they grab. The ears, they hear. The foot, it walks. Some of us are mouths and we like to talk, amen? But all of us have a function here tonight. You think about it, there's no part of your body that does not have a purpose and a function. Just like as a member of Pacific Baptist Church, each of us has a purpose and each of us has a function. You say, what are we supposed to do? Fulfill it. Do it. Get involved. Do your part. Hey, it may be just cleaning up after church. It may be running a vacuum. It may be cleaning the nursery. I don't know what it is, but it's important to God. And in order for this church to go forward, guess what? You just got to do your part. Get on board. Do your part. Get along. And this church is going to go places. I believe this. I believe this. Every saint is saved to serve. I believe that. Every saint is saved to serve. I'll show you. Turn over to Ephesians chapter number 2. We'll look at three verses here. Ephesians chapter number 2. And verse number 8, we know this. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So in its context, what's it talking about? It's talking about salvation, right? It says, "Not of works, lest any man should boast." Look what it says, verse number 10. "For we, a saved person, are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto," what? "Good works." You see, God created you for a specific purpose tonight. And I believe in the sovereignty of God, that God has brought you to this church for a reason. You know, God just blessed us. I never thought in my wildest dreams that I'd be a homeowner. We got a house. Good night. It's amazing. And for the first time in my life, other than when I was a kid, I got a lawn to mow. Man, that's exciting. I love grass. You know, man's first job was a gardener? Yeah, that's right. So you need to get out there and cut the grass, amen? And we just bought a lawnmower. I got a lawnmower. And I mowed the grass. And I looked back at that thing. I said, wow. You know, when you're in the ministry, you don't always see results all the time. It's a different kind of work. You sit behind a desk or you're working with people, and sometimes that can be frustrating. Sometimes I wish I did manual labor. You know, at the end of the day, you can sit back at a job and say, look what I did. That looks good, doesn't it? Well, that's how I felt about mowing my grass. I mowed that thing. I edged it. I sprayed some weed killer on that thing. And it was looking good. I sat back and I said, wow, that looks good. I think that's the way that God looks at us tonight, when we are fulfilling our purpose. The God of heaven looks down and he sees you teaching that children's Sunday school class. He sees you working on that bus route, or maybe singing in the choir, or playing the piano or whatever it is you do in the church, and he looks back and says, wow, they're doing what I created them for. I think it pleases the Lord. You say, what's the message tonight? We're done. Jesus loves the church. Hey, the church is a big deal to God. Whoa. That was weird. The church should be a big deal to us. It should. It's got to be more than just coming and fellowship. This is the place that God has ordained. And God has brought you here for a specific purpose. Maybe some of us tonight, we're just not involved in anything. Hey, tonight would be a good night to tell the Lord, hey, I'm starting to get involved. Hey, maybe some of us, we used to be involved. By the way, really, maybe you've been around the church for a long time, and I see a lot of old faces. You've been here for a long time. And maybe you say, well, I'm just going to let some of these other people serve. No, that's the time when you need to keep on serving. Man, you finally got some experience, and you can train somebody. You can teach somebody. Hey, you need to get involved. Everybody's important here tonight. Don't let anybody tell you. Don't stop trying to find our significance out there. Man, the world is messed up. Stop looking at all that stuff. Stop trying to be like them and trying to find our place in the world. Find your place right here at Pacific Baptist Church. Get involved. Fulfill your purpose. Hey, there's no stopping what God can do with a church that's got a man of God, the Word of God, the people of God, and the mission of God. Hey, God's going to take you places. Let me say this. Finish that building. Finish that building. I've given over $60,000 to that building. I'm not giving it to anymore. We got our own building project now. But I want to see you finish. Sacrifice. Do what you got to do. You're right there. Finish that thing and keep going forward for God. Let's all stand with our heads bowed, eyes.